Well, thank you, ladies. What a privilege to be led by you this morning. We just so value your ministry to us, and it's just a joy to be able to celebrate one of the ministries of our church. And indeed, there are many diverse ministries here at Southside. And that's one of the things I appreciate in particular about what God is doing here in this place, that we are reminded that God is interested in all of us. And this morning as we worship Him, yes, we're thinking in particular of one aspect of our church and one particular group of people. But we're equally reminded that God's interested in all of us. Doesn't matter if you're a mum or not. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. It doesn't matter what your nationality is, where you come from, what you do, your circumstance. God is interested in all of us. And I appreciate a particular aspect of MOPS ministry in that each year they choose a particular scripture to be their focus for the year. And the scripture is God's word indeed, God's word to all of us, regardless of who we are. And as Naomi reminded us, that the theme this year is from Isaiah 43. And I'd like to read these couple of verses, but more in its context. So if you have your Bibles with you, you might like to open them to Isaiah chapter 43. And this morning I want to read from verse 16. Isaiah 43, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. This is a word from God, a word spoken by an ancient prophet called Isaiah. And indeed, it's interesting because albeit Isaiah spoke 600 BC, he was speaking into a world in many ways not that different to ours. The people of his world, like ours, had turned their backs on God and were living out the consequences of that choice. It was a world characterized by brokenness and pain, and hope of change seemed like a fading dream. And into this scene comes Isaiah, speaking the very words of God. On the one hand, he proclaims God's wrath, what A.W. Tozer called his utter intolerance for whatever degrades and destroys. And on the other, a message of hope and restoration. What we read this morning, this word from God, is a message of hope and restoration in the face of our brokenness and pain. This is a word to us, right where we are, in the midst of everything we're facing right now. For the people in Isaiah's day, it was a reminder of how God had acted in the past, of how he had delivered their ancestors from the Egyptians. The account is recorded in Exodus of how the people of God had found themselves in Egypt, were in slavery for 300 years. They were oppressed, they were dominated by a tyrant regime. They had lost all freedom. They made bricks. They were killed and suffered. And into that scene, God brings a deliverer, Moses. And the imagery is embedded in what Isaiah says to us of how God delivered the people of Israel. He led them out of Israel and he opened up the Red Sea and he took them through, and the Red Sea closed up once they had passed, and God wiped out the Egyptian army that was pounding down behind them. I can't imagine what it must have been like for these ancient people. They weren't soldiers. They weren't trained soldiers. They'd been slaves for 300 years. They courageously followed this man Moses, who had come from God. Some of them doubted. Some of them, could this be? And they went and they started to go out. But as they're going, they could see in the distance the professional, well-equipped Egyptian army. Must have been an interesting scene. Can't go back. The army's pounding down upon them. And in front of them is the Red Sea. The only way forward was a miracle. And that's exactly what God did. The sea opened up and they went through. I love the language of Isaiah here in verse 17, of how he speaks of the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. I mean, this isn't, oh, the army, it kind of just, you know, oh, it lost a little bit of its way. Snuffed out like a wick. This is wetting your fingers, going to the candle and putting it up. Smoke. Snuffed out. It was an amazing moment of victory. Yes, this broken and oppressed people had been set free by the powerful hand of God. But Isaiah's word to us is, yes, remember that, but God's word, God is not just someone who has acted in the past. He is someone who acts now. And Isaiah is, in essence, saying, look, guys, remember what God did in the past? Remember how God delivered our ancestors in the past? Well, I want you to know something. What he wants to do now is nothing like that. In fact, what they experienced in the past, man, what you are about to see will blow that way out of the water. It's a little bit like what Isaiah is saying, is a little bit like saying to people who are familiar with horse-drawn transport, right? So take yourself back into that generation of horse-drawn transport. And you're kind of all excited. I don't have to walk. Wow, I don't have to walk. What used to take me weeks to get from A to B, I can hop on a horse now and it only takes me days. I am just blown away. That is just the most amazing thing. The horse is wonderful. Well, it's kind of like saying to people who are living in that paradigm, I want to talk to you about jet propulsion. The past is nothing compared to what I'm about to do. It's huge. It's incredibly powerful. Isaiah's message is, I think I've gone all over the place here, yeah. Isaiah's message, like the words of all the ancient prophets, were, we find recorded in the Bible, points us in one direction, to God's new thing. This message is a little like the movement in a symphony. You might be surprised to know that my favourite subject at school, in junior high school, was music. Some of you know. Surprise. And it wasn't instrumental music. I actually can't play a musical instrument. But I guess it was more a little bit like musical appreciation. And we studied classical music, and we studied symphonies. And my favourite symphony is Mendelssohn's Hebridean Symphony, I think it's called. The Hebridean Islands out Scotland, all right? And it's just this amazing piece of music. And we were taught to appreciate music and to identify the various movements. And this was a time in my life where I particularly like Haydn's harpsichords and Jimi Hendrix's guitar. And you just put them together. It's bliss, perfect bliss. Well, and as part of this whole course, we learned how a symphony was put together. And it's interesting, because you would listen to the music and you would hear this piece of music and it would be just sort of moving. And you know, think in particular of Mendelssohn's Hebridean Symphony, of the movement of ocean, you know, the Scottish Islands, and it's quiet, and then, you know, and it just moves. And then it moves on to and the next movement. And you listen to it and you think, hang on a second, I heard that theme over here a few moments ago. Now, then it was being played by the strings, but now it's being played by the woodwind. And then it goes to a new movement, and you're listening, and the music is moving, and the sense of the ocean growing, and suddenly you're in the brass section, but you can hear the same theme again. And it's this sort of overlapping, and when it all started, the ocean was quiet and the movements are coming forward, and it's all building, repetition, building to this mighty crescendo. Well, that's what's going on here. That's what these ancient prophets have been doing. You see, in a symphony, all the movements both echo the one theme while moving us forward to this one mighty crescendo where it all comes together. In the Bible's message to a broken world, that crescendo is Jesus. He is Isaiah's new thing, Isaiah's way in the wilderness, Isaiah's stream in the wasteland. This is the new thing that God is doing. This is the thing that God is doing in our lives. And yes, we see this time and time again in the life of Jesus, God's new thing. In John chapter 4 in particular, there's a delightful... I'm totally lost my way. Doesn't matter. How about I get rid of that and forget it? In John chapter 4, Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman. And it's an interesting encounter. Thanks, guys. Glad someone knows what they're doing over there. And it's the middle of the day. Jesus is sitting by a well. He's there by himself, and a woman comes, a Samaritan woman, and Jesus asks her for a drink of water. And this scene is God in the person of Jesus smashing through cultural, social, religious barriers. That's what's going on so incredibly powerfully in this scene. This woman comes up and Jesus talks to her. She's a Samaritan, she's a woman, and indeed there's questions of her moral standing. And yet Jesus speaks to her. And she's saying, hang on, you Jews, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. That doesn't happen. You don't talk to me. What's going on here? And that there's this conversation as Jesus gently draws her out and challenges all that is within her being. And there's a conversation about water. And indeed, it transitions from, you know, just physical water, our day-to-day need for water. Indeed, we cannot live without water physically. It transitions into this conversation, into this my inner need to have something satisfied. And Jesus speaks of living water to this woman. A kind of, there is a satisfaction beyond what you're experiencing now. There is a quenching of the thirst that exists within you that you know nothing of at the moment. It's living water. And the dialogue is interesting because it seems to be moving positively. This conversation is moving in this positive direction. And she, because she says, man, I want this kind of water. And then Jesus abruptly turns over here and says, well, go and get your husband and bring him back. And starts to confront the dysfunction in her life. Starts to confront the brokenness that exists in her life. The woman darts away from it yet again, and the conversation continues. And she perceives as the dialogue ensues that, oh, she says, Jesus, you're a prophet. You know how when God starts to talk into our lives and, you know, so we're being challenged and, you know, the best defense is to get on the offensive. Let's change the subject. Let's not go there. Let's not talk about that. Well, that's exactly what happened there in John chapter 4. Jesus says, he starts to confront her brokenness, her sinfulness, her what's going on in her life. And she says, let's have a religious conversation, please, not a personal conversation. I perceive you're a prophet. And she starts talking about the coming of Messiah. And Jesus says these profound words. Let's see how sharp they are. I am he. Ah, good. Well done, guys. I am he. And what you need to hear in these words is indeed what we've heard something of this morning, of lives being touched by Jesus. There's this, he is both the crescendo in the symphony, you know, that all the movements coming up. I'm he, I'm the crescendo. I'm he, I am the one who satisfies your thirst. I am the one who leads you through the wilderness. Yes, I am the one the prophet spoke of, the one who can deliver you out of the wilderness your life has become. I am the one who can fill you with a new kind of life, a life that is like refreshing streams of clean, cool water. That's what Isaiah is talking about. That's the new thing that God has done. He has sent us Jesus. And as we face our lives, as we face our own brokenness, the challenge is to be brave, to face up to yourself. That's the challenge. I've often said that the last person you want to meet on a dark, cloudy night is yourself. You know how we pretend to ourselves? You know how we lie to ourselves? You know how we put on masks between each other and we're hiding? I mean, that's something we've done since the Garden of Eden, isn't it? Humanity does that. We hide all the time. And yet here it is. God is calling us to confront ourselves. I know I'm thirsty. I suspect that's what was going on with this woman. I know I'm broken. I know I'm in a wilderness dry place. Yes, I think that's what was going on in her life. I am he, Jesus says. And there is a point where we need to cross step in towards Jesus. And as we travel on with him, I mean, who is this Jesus anyway? He is God, eternal God. Creator God, one above, who is above and beyond all things. He is the promised one that, again, everything spoken of concerning the coming of God throughout the Old Testament fulfilled in the person of Jesus. He is the one. And as his children, we can walk confidently forward. Now, I'm not suggesting come to Jesus and life's sweet, everything gets fixed. I mean, there's enough people here who know me, to say, well, that's not what it's about. That's not how this Jesus thing works. That's not what God promised. God promised us in the midst of life, he is there, he is faithful. And so this morning, as we think of this incredible promise of God, this promise of a new thing, the encouragement for every one of us is to walk in this new thing, to walk in the person of Jesus, in the power of Jesus, in the life and freedom that Jesus gives. What is his word to us? I am he. Let me pray for you. Father God, we do delight in the many ministries that we have here at Southside. We thank you for the many opportunities we have to hear the name Jesus, to be reminded of your goodness, Lord Jesus Christ, to be reminded that you indeed are the new thing that God has done in the world, and that indeed in you there is new life, refreshing new life. And Father, I just want to pray for people this morning that are here that don't know you, that only know of the dryness, the barrenness, only know of the thirst. Father, I pray that you by your Spirit would gently draw people to yourself today. And I pray for us who know Jesus, who have been walking with Jesus, I pray, God, that you would refresh in us the reality of who you are, that we might embrace all that you have called us to, knowing that you are mighty God, powerful and sufficient, above and beyond all things, even more powerful than jet propulsion. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you this morning. Yes, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen.